We would like to thank Karen and Jake Abelevis for sponsoring this morning's Locks and Learn Le'ilui Nishmas, Jake's beloved parents, Eliyahu ben Abba and Leah Bas Avram, and Karen's brother, Yoshua ben Shimon Dov. Their neshama should have an Aliyah. We are in the second chapter of the second Mishnah of the fifth chapter of Pirkei Avos. The title of today's shiur is 10 Generations. As we were about to see, we're going to talk about the 10 generations from Adam to Noah and from Noah to Avraham. As we read the Mishnayos, let us ask to ourselves and reflect as many questions as we possibly can. The methodology of these types of questions should be relatively fluent with us over the past many, many, many shiurim. Similar types of questions we'll be asking on this Mishnah as well. So let's jump in. Perek 5, Mishnah 2, Asara Doros Me Adam Va'ad Noach. There are 10 generations from Adam until Noach. Lahodia, to teach us or to let us know, Kama Erech Apayim Lefanav, how patient God is. Shekol HaDoros Hayu Machisin Uva'in, all of the generations were making him mad, they were provoking him. Ad Shehevi Aleim Esmei Amabul, until he eventually brought the waters of the flood, the Mabul, to the tenth of those generations. Mishnah continues, Asara Doros Minoach Vad Avram, there were 10 generations from Noach until Avram. Lo'odia Kama Erech Apayim Lefanav, same idea, to teach us how patient God is. Shekol HaDoros Hayu Machisin Uvayin, same language, all of the generations were provoking him. Ad Sheba Avram V'kibel Alav Schar Kulam, until Avram came and received the reward for all of them. So let us now take a few moments to ask as many questions as we can on this Mishnah. So number one, in terms of the takeaway, what's the message? What am I supposed to be learning from this Mishnah? Is it a historical fact? Is it a theological idea to reflect upon? Or is there something that me as a person should be thinking about from a character building perspective? Our assumption from the beginning was that most Mishnayos in Pirkei Avos are character building. Many commentators assume that every Mishnah has something to do with building character, but that presents a problem for the beginning of chapter 5, as we've mentioned in previous Shirim, but particularly for this Mishnah, because the Mishnah goes out of its way, it tells us a fact that there are 10 generations, and it's sort of self-reflective that it's not just enough to tell us a fact, it has to be teaching us something. But the thing that it's teaching us seems to be just an esoteric, philosophical, theological concept that God is patient. Okay, what does that do with me? That's God. So let God read this Mishnah and let's move forward. Why does it matter to me that God is patient? So that's one question. What's the message, if there is one? Maybe our assumption's wrong. Maybe that the Mishnah doesn't have to have a takeaway practically for us to live our lives, and it's just a nice idea that God is patient, but doesn't have to do with us. Just historical fact, 10 generations, God is patient. That's question number one. We can ask more nuanced questions on the text. What does it mean that he was machisin, that they were machisin uva'in? That they angered him, they provoked him. Why add that word uva'in? They provoked him and they came, or they, as they translate here, they kept on provoking him. Seems to be a strange language to use. Why the language of lifanav, before him? Okay, that also seems to be something that's an added nuance that perhaps there's something to take away from. I'm going to scroll down to the bottom and we're going to cheat a little bit. So what I did for you, I didn't want to do it all the way from the beginning, is I reflected some questions. What's the message? Why lefanav? What's the difference between Avraham and Noah? So our Mishnah has two parts to it. 10 generations from Adam to Avraham, 10 generations from Noah to, from Adam to Noah, and 10 generations from Noah to Avraham. Is there a difference between those two parts? Can we compare and contrast Avraham and Noah? If you go back to the Mishnah, there seems to be a big difference in terms of the conclusion. The conclusion of the first set of generations is that it was all destroyed. The conclusion of the second set of generations is that Avraham took their reward. So what's the difference between Avram and Noah? And then reflecting on the Avram piece, what reward did they have and how can he take it? What does that mean that Avram took their reward? And if they were so bad, what reward did they have that Avram should take in the first place? So what reward is there? And then even whatever we decide that reward is, what theologically, how does Avram just take people's reward? It's their reward. That doesn't seem fair. And then finally, the last question before we jump into the Abarbanel is, why have to teach patience twice? Meaning our first mission, the first part of the Mishnah stated that Lodia kama erech apayim lefanav. We want to teach you how patient God is. There's 10 generations from Adam to Noah. Well, apparently that wasn't enough because we have to teach that lesson again, that God is patient, because we need 10 generations from Noah to Avram, Lodia kama erech apayim lefanav, to teach us how patient God is. Well, he just taught me how patient God was with 10 generations. He got to wait another 10 generations to teach me the same thing, that God is patient. So the Mishnah seems to be repetitive on some levels, that it's teaching the same Mishnah twice through two sets of 10 generations. So why the repetition? So those are a few questions that we can generate just from reading the Mishnah. And let us see the Abarbanel, who we've known till this point is a good place to start if you want to see questions. Abarbanel, always in the beginning of his understanding of the Mishnayos, sets out questions. If you remember from 2-3 weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago, when we did the Mishnah on the first Mishnah in the Perek, which is that there were also started off with 10 mamaros. The world was created with 10 statements. So remember, the Abarbanel asked how many questions? 10. And that was when we developed the idea of the importance of the number 10. So here, even though the Mishnah is 10, the Abarbanel didn't ask 10 questions. He asked 5 questions. But still, he in the beginning will ask 5 questions, and then in his analysis, he'll always go to answer those questions. So before we answer anything, let us see his 5 questions. Some of them overlap slightly with our questions, and some of them are slightly different. So here he writes as follows. Number 1, Rishona. Lama lo nismacha acharei ha-mishnah rishona me'asar ma'amaros nivra olam mishnas aseres dvarim nivru ben ha-shmashos. So this question is something that perhaps we should have asked on our own on some level, and that is one classic question that we ask is, why is one Mishnah connected to the previous Mishnah? So why does one Mishnah jump off into the next one? So the previous Mishnah, as I just alluded to, was the first Mishnah in the Perek, says that there were 10 statements, 10 utterances that the world was created with. What we don't know yet, so this, you need the Abarbanel, unless you've read ahead to the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah says there were 10 things that were created, Bein Hashmashos, on the eve of the 7th day of creation. So what the Abarbanel here says is sort of a detailed question related to the juxtapositions of Mishnayos. Is that we always want to know, again, why does one Mishnah connect to another one? Well, here it's even a stronger question, because Mishnah 1 talks about 10 things that created the world. Mishnah 3 talks about 10 things that were created, Bein Hashmashos, the eve of the 7th day of creation. So that's 1 and 3, both creation. Mishnah 2, which is our Mishnah, talks about 10 generations from Adam to Noach and 10 generations from Noach to Avram. Seems to be skipping on some level. I should have went from 10 statements to create the world, 10 things that were created during creation, and then, historically, next is 10 generations from Adam to Noach, 10 generations from Noach to Avram. So the Mishnayos seem to be out of order. So that's the Abarbanel's question here. Why the juxtaposition of this Mishnah to the previous Mishnah, when we should have put 10 things that were created, Bein Hashmashos, on the eve of the 7th day, right after the first Mishnah, which deals with creation? So that's question number 1. Question number 2 is, Lama asa shloshes hatchalos hahema, Adam v'Noach v'Avraham. So now the Abarbanel is going back to basics. Right? We're sort of brainwashed, and we know the big players and the big hitters. So we don't really think, okay, there's 3 people listed in this Mishnah, Adam, Noach, and Avram. They're 3 heavy hitters. So we don't think, why choose these 3 people? But the Abarbanel doesn't take anything for granted. And he says, why choose Adam, Noach, and Avram? V'lo zachar misu shelach, v'lo shem ve'ever, Velo Chanoch, Veshar HaKadoshim, Asher Ba'aretz Hema. You had other options. There were other holy people during those time periods. It wasn't just Adam, Avram, and Noach. So why choose these three and not add some other people in? But not just why choose these three and not add other people in, but it's almost as if the Mishnah is ignoring them, right? It's saying that everybody was terrible. Everybody. The whole world was bad. Except Adam, Noach, Abraham will excerpt and take out for illustrative purposes, but the Barabbanel says that's not fair. There were other holy people at that time. Doesn't mention these other people who we know to be holy, righteous people. It's not fair to them. So that's the second question. Vahashlishis, the third question the Barabbanel asks. For those joining us now on Facebook, we are in the fifth parak, Mishnah 2. Vahashlishis. Ma inyan omer kama erech apayim bedoros Noach, kama erech apayim bedoros Avram. This question we did ask. Why does it say to teach us how patient God is when it comes to the generations of Adam to Noach, as well as to the generations of Noach to Avram? It's repetitive. You just told me God's patient. Why do you have to tell me again that God is patient? And the Barbanel says, even more so, if you take a step back, we also got brainwashed. Our Mishnah says that the reason this is happening is in order to teach us the patience of God. But the Barbanel says that's not really what the Mishnah is teaching us about. That's not the message of the Mishnah. The real message of the Mishnah is that God pays back, gives schar to tzaddikim, and takes away from rishayim. Right? Schar va'onesh. It's reward and punishment. That's the message of the Mishnah. The message of the Mishnah is reward and punishment, not how patient God is. We talk about how patient God is in the context of the bigger, broader message, which is schar va'onesh, reward and punishment. So kol shekein sheherech apayim yomar tamid samach lagabe delay kmo sheherech lahem apo venishim bachrona v'abederosav shel Avram shelo nenshu lo yipol erech apayim ki im slicha v'kapara. Now it's a little bit more nuanced, but he says that with Avraham, there actually isn't a punishment going on here. So what's the erech apayim? He was patient. So usually when you want to say he was patient until eventually he lost his patience, as it were. So here we just want to focus. He's asking it as a question, but really it's important to point out here. It's not just that Erech HaPayim is repetitive, that it's in the first clause and the second clause. It's that it doesn't really fit within the second clause, because usually you would expect Erech HaPayim to be he was patient, and then eventually, Abarbanel argues, that there was payback. Here, the punishment is almost ignored because of Avraham. So why use this term Erech HaPayim? So that's his question. I would, even though it's a nuanced question, I would broadly state the question, why repeat the concept of Erech HaPayim? Question number four. This gets into the distinction between Abraham and Noach. Imaya Noach Tzadik Tamim Lama Lo Amar Alav Gam Kein Shekibal Schar Kol Dorosav. So if Noach was so righteous, then how come he didn't get the reward that Avram gets? Avram gets the reward for all those generations. Noach doesn't get those rewards. The Mishnah says that the world was destroyed, right? Kevan Shehema Abdu Yoser Hu Veso. V'lami Yenoach Me'at Tzadikim Kai Meso Olam. Why isn't Noach one of the tzaddikim who the world was saved for? So at the core of this question is, what's the difference between Avram and Noach? And then finally, question number five. I really like this question. I was looking for this type of question when we did the shiur before Shavuos on the importance of the number 10, but the Abarbanel saves the question, or at least I missed it if he said it before, but he saves it for this Mishnah, where he says as follows, Lama Zachra HaMishnah Elu HaSirios Bilvad. Why does this Mishnah, and more broadly speaking, this Perek, talk about this list of 10 things? Velo Zachra Shar HaSirios Sheniskru B'Torah Kaseres HaDibros. That's really what an important question is that if you remember, we have Mishnah 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of the fifth parak, all have 10 things this, 10 things that, 10 things the other thing. What it doesn't have is the Aseres HaDibros. It doesn't say the world was created with Aseres HaDibros. Now, some commentaries, if you remember, said that when it said the world was created with 10 utterances, that it was actually referencing the Aseres HaDibros, but it's not explicit. So the Abarbanel's question here is just a broad question on the set of Mishnayos in Perek 5, which is, why pick these lists of 10 things and leave off very important lists of other 10 things, like Aseres HaDibros, that's a big one. Ukemasros. Masros has to do with the number 10, giving Meiser. Vikasara Hilulum Shababa Mizmar Achor Besefer Tehillim. 10 hallelujahs at the end of Tehillim. Vasirios Hasichlim Hanivdalim. And then more philosophical concepts. 10 types of Seichel, of intelligences. Vagilgulim. Vishara Dvarim Asher Mizeh Hemin Gamkein. And all the Kabbalistic, mystical concepts of 10, the Spheros, etc. Why leave off all of those 10s? So the Abarbanel here helps us move along the questions, and we're just going to recap briefly all the questions that we've had so far. Big picture question, what's the message of the Mishnah? Little picture, nuanced questions, textual questions, what's the word lefanav teaching us, before the angered before God? What's the difference between Avram and Noah? What's the reward that Avraham, that they had, and can he take it? Why can Avram take the reward? And why teach patience twice? Plus, the Abarbanel adds the juxtapositions. Why is this Mishnah is in between, sandwiched in between two Mishnayos of creation? Why Adam, Noach, and Avraham leave out all the other tzaddikim and righteous people of those times? It's almost like we're ignoring them. And then finally, what's the significance of these tens and not other tens? So with this list of questions, we now start to dive in to the commentaries. We're going to start with source number 2, the Medrash Shmuel. So the Medrash Shmuel says as follows. He's going to start with the juxtaposition question. Yesh lahavin, lama hispik be'elu ha-mishnayos v'lo nismucha kan mishnah asaras dvarim nivru be'erev Shabbos. Same question the Abarbanel asked. Why stick this Mishnah 2 in between 1 and 3 when 1 and 3 are talking about creation and this is post-creation? Sheishteim ein abria. So he says as follows. Now this is because of this textual juxtaposition question, he gives us a total new read of the Mishnah that we might not have seen before at all, and brings in, within the theme of schar ba'onis, reward and punishment, the concept of theodicy. As we've spoken about in the past, what's theodicy? Theodicy is tzadik v'ralo and rasha v'tovlo. Why bad things happen to good people and why good things happen to bad people? It's a tough question to answer. It's been a running theme throughout many Mishnayos that we've encountered. And the Medrash Shmuel says our Mishnah perhaps is talking about the same issue, and through splitting Mishnah 1 and Mishnah 3 and putting this Mishnah 2 right after Mishnah 1 is teaching us an important concept. Ve'efshar.
The
previous Mishnah, the one that we just skipped, Mishnah 1 talks about how the reason why the world was created with 10 utterances was to give reward to the righteous and to take away from the wicked. Ve'einenu ra'inu lehefech. Sadik viralo rasha vitovlo. The previous Mishnah stated as a fact that righteous people get rewarded and wicked people get punished. But our eyes, enenu ra'inu lehefech, our eyes, reality, empirical evidence proves otherwise. It doesn't happen. Righteous people suffer and wicked people prosper. How can it be? So because the previous Mishnah did indicate the concept of tzaddikim get rewarded and rishayim get punished, and we don't see that, so our Mishnah needs to intercede. So he's about to read our whole Mishnah as a response to theodicy, to this big question of why bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people. Al kain, or al korchach, letaretz ze smach mishnas asara doros mi adam ba noach, Lo dia shu yisbarach gomel ish chesed kitzid kaso v'nosin l'rasha ra kirish aso. So this Mishnah comes in to teach us, in truth, righteous people get rewarded and wicked people get punished. That's the truth. That's the real reality. But kishatimsa davar be'afacho, when we see the opposite, when our eyes see that wicked people prosper and righteous people suffer, kvar tirtzazu torasenu akdosha b'meshes sadr lanu b'torah ploni holid as ploni umana arasara daros umah balu mamdenu. The answer is inherent within the Torah's chronology here, that there were 10 generations. What's that coming to teach us? V'zeh shekasav asara daros mana lanu akasuv shayim adam ba'noach. These 10 generations is to teach us kavanaso yisparach lodia kama erech apayim lefanav, that God is patient. Ki marech apo im harishayim. He is patient with the wicked. So the wicked will suffer. They will pay for what they do. But God doesn't pay them back, doesn't punish them right away. He's patient in his punishment. Va'afim ra'is derech rishayim salcha, eina inyan ki kola oser ra'atov b'nei Hashem. If you see wicked people not being punished right away, it's because God is patient. He's arichos apayim. Vasar darosh medem anoch yochichu. And what's the proof? The 10 generations from Adam to Noah. Shekola daros haymachis in lefanav. Each generation was really bad. At shehevi aleim es me'amabul. Eventually, he brought the mabul for them. Va'abda min ha'olam and destroyed them. V'sofi yochichu al tchilaso. And the fact that they were destroyed at the end proves that the whole time they had problems. Kimashalo avah l'rishonim ayar richas apayim. The reason why they were not destroyed right away is because God was patient. At shenismal esas some until eventually he couldn't be patient anymore, and that's when he destroyed them with the Mabul, and that answers Harisha Tiretz Kushas Rasha Vitovlo. So what's the answer to why good things happen to bad people? It's because God is patient. That's the answer. So Mishnah 1 says, righteous people get rewarded and wicked people suffer. Our eyes see that wicked people don't suffer. Well, God's playing the long game. It might not happen right now, but it'll happen in the future. That's one answer. What about why righteous people suffer? That answers why wicked people prosper. What about why righteous people suffer? Well, that's the second part of the Mishnah. The second part of the Mishnah that deals with Noach to Avraham, Letaritz Kusha Sadik Viralo, answers the question of why righteous people suffer. Hevi Inyan Avram, Ki mi lanu gadol mimenu. Who is greater than Avram Avinu? Vim kolze avra lav tsaros tachufos im me'inyan arav im shenilka chasara pam lebayit beis paro pam lemelech grar v'kahena. Nobody's greater than Avram, and look how much he suffered. 10 sufferings, 10 challenges that he had to go through. Ad eser tsaros matzanu ra'inu sheboa alav Hashem yisbaruch hodianu taimo shel davar. God tells us, v'mesh shemana lanu asara daro sheminoach v'ad Avram u'ma ba'olam deinu el lodia kama erech apayim lefanav. It's also coming to teach us patience of God. Shekol adoros hayu machis in lefana, v'ad sheba Avram avinu, v'kibol alav schar kulam. And Avram got all their reward. So now listen carefully, because he's about to do something that you probably were not expecting. When it says that Avram got their reward, right? So what reward are we talking about? We alluded to this before. What does that mean, he got the reward? They were bad people. What reward did they have? So the Medrash Shmuel says reward here doesn't mean good reward. Doesn't mean positive. It means the consequences of their actions. It actually means punishments. Kibal alav schar kulam. The reward means what they did wrong, Avram had to suffer for. And now what the Medrash Shmuel does is introduces a loaded theological concept to get out of the problem of why does Avram suffer. The reason Avram suffers, again, this is a controversial statement he's about to make, Kilomar, ki Avram kibel alav ha'onesh haro'i lavo aleihem, v'chalim hu nasa v'hu savlam v'alkein zachu elu li natzel, ki hu kibel alav tzara achas k'neged kol dor v'ador. So Avraham didn't get rewarded. Avraham got punished. He got suffering for their sins. 10 generations sinned until Avraham came and bore their sins. Each gener- and that's why there Avram has 10 tests. The 10 tests are for the 10 generations. V'hisha amdalahem, lofize yeperu schar kulam onesh kulam. The reward of all that means the punishment for all of them. Kemosha schar avera avera. Ulezeh samach asar nisyonos nisasa Avram avinu v'amar bekulam. Lodia kama ayachibaso shel Avram. Shahaya lo im Hashem yisbarach. Shrei amar bekulam. And now it's going to show that Avram passed those tests. And that's something that we're going to discuss in future Mishnayos, but it's that the point here is that he took their punishments. So now this is a loaded concept, and I'm sure I can see people, you know, sort of fidgeting in their seats, ready to ask and to question. But I'm going to hold it off. So write down your questions for now, and I'll take it at the end. The big point, just to summarize for now, is that Avraham suffered because of the sins of the previous generations, and that answers, according to the Medrash Shmuel, that answers why righteous people suffer, is to take on the punishments of those in the generation that needed punishments. Now, that's not for everybody. That's obviously not the only reason or explanation as to why righteous people suffer. But that's one explanation, and that's why the Medrash Shmuel says this Mishnah is placed after the previous Mishnah. The previous Mishnah says reward and punishment is straight up. Righteous people get good, wicked people get bad. We don't see that. So this Mishnah comes and says, well, sometimes wicked people get good because God is patient and will punish them at the end. And sometimes righteous people get bad because God is also patient with the wicked and test the righteous in order for them to bear the burden of the punishment of the wicked. Again, loaded concept. Write your questions down. We'll take it at the end. Let's transition. The rest of this year is not as deep as this. This was one sort of powerful snippet of where the Medrash Shmuel went with this. So let's lighten it up. Let's back it up and lighten it up. So now, source number 3, Medrash Shmuel again. Says as follows. There's a lighter idea, and I think a different spin to what his point of the Mishnah is. V'gam efshar. This goes to the question of why does it say the word lefanov, before God? Shishmiyano HaKadosh Baruch Hu chas al kvod habrios yoser mikvod shmo. God cares about people's honor more than the honor of his own name. What does that mean? Shekol osan adoros hakod mayu machisim lefanov. All the previous generations were angering lifanav, before him. What does that mean, before him? Ve'omru lifanav hakavana shaita ha'ach'asa lifanav levad. The original generation's sins were bein adam lemakom. They were between man and God. They were lifanav. B'davar shebeino lemakom. Ve'al kol zeh herich lahem ad shabad dor amabul. And so God was patient for the 10 generations, because they were just ignoring or angering God. And he could handle that. He can take that. Until the Dor HaMabul came. What was the Dor HaMabul? Shebishvil shayura'im b'chata'im bein adam l'chaveiro. Their sins were between each other, between man and his fellow. Ki mala aretz chamas, az nechtam gzardina mala gezel v'hevi aleim es mea mabul. Then God couldn't take it anymore. Meaning it's one thing if it's Machisin lifanav. If they were angering God for the things that they were doing between Bein Adam Lamakam, between man and God. But once they went overboard and it became not just between man and God, but between man and his fellow, Bein Adam Lachavero, God says, I can't stand that anymore. I can't deal with that. And that's why the Meha Mabul came. Because I think it's a nice idea in the sense that it's a textual nuance based on the word lefanav, and it also prioritizes the fact that God wants us to treat each other well, and he wants us to treat him well as well, but it's not as important to him, as it were, that he's not going to incur the punishment, he's not going to punish them as much, until once it becomes Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, that's when he doesn't want to see it anymore, and that's where the mabul happened. So that's the second idea of the Medrash Shmuel. Now let's go to source number 4, Rabbeinu Yonah. So Rabbeinu Yonah here is going to help us answer a different question in terms of its application to us. What's the meaning and the message for us? Right now, everything's been sort of high in the sky, up in the air, philosophical, abstract, nothing really practical. Just how does Schar Va'Onesh work? Go back to theodicy. Okay, that's an interesting concept, interesting discussion. I can think about that. But, you know, in terms of the practical takeaway, is there anything I can think or do? So look at source number four, Rabbeinu Yonah. Uvalulam denu. Ki kasher ata ro'e bidoro shebein adam arishon lenoach, shekulam hichisu b'maisi yedeim l'rolahem. When you see that those 10 generations between Adam and Noach, everybody was bad, everybody was angering God. V'herich apo, ko osam adoros. And he was patient that whole time. Ulesof hevi alei me'am abul. And at the end, he brought on the mabul, the flood. Ki lo lo'olam arich apo, because it's not forever that he's going to be patient. Kein tachshov legalusenu. The same idea applies to our own exile. Al yedei haromim. Ulubal tomar kama yamim vishanim, ki heshiv chamaso meal malchus romi, vanachnu begalos ala olam yarich lahem apo. We're in galos. We're in the middle of galos. It feels like forever. Ki erech apayim hu yadua teda, ki lesof yishalom lahem kif alam ukamasi yadeim vigilanu vyoshianu. God is patient. He's playing the long game, as it were. Unfortunately, it feels like it's been more than 10 generations and more than 10 generations. But the idea for the Mishnah, the Rabbeinu Yonah saying, the takeaway is not just on a abstract theological level in the sense of Schar Va'Onesh, but it's a message of hope that God is going to redeem us. That those that are wicked, even though generation through generation, they don't seem to be suffering. There's going to be redemption. They're going to be paid back for all of their wickedness. Ki erech apayim godohu. Ach b'charis hayamim poked avonos rishonim u'maher yikadmunu rachamecha ki dalonu ma'oz. That God is going to pay them back, and as well, that he's going to give us our reward for withstanding that suffering. So the message here, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, is not just theological in the sense of Schar Va'Onesh, reward and punishment, or theodicy, but as well as it's hopeful in terms of a message for our exile and eventual redemption, hopefully very soon. Now, he continues, Lo amru b'kan ad shenifra mehen, ki avra avinu malei kol hachistronos, v'asa tova keneged kol ra'asam, v'tzilam min ha'puranus. So, Avraham, he says, is the difference between Avraham and Noah. It was another one of our questions. What's the difference between Avraham and Noah? So the difference in the Mishnah is that Avraham got their reward, meaning the world wasn't destroyed and he got reward. Noah, he didn't get the reward and the whole world was destroyed. So Avraham, his greatness was able to compensate for all of the negativity that was in the world, which helped save the world from destruction. But Noach lo yuchal atzilam, ki lo yatzadik kol kach l'maleach hasronot v'natal schar kulam. He was not great enough to save the world, and he was not great enough to get their reward. Here, Rabbeinu Yonah understands reward like we originally understood it, which meant a positive thing, not like the Medrash Shmuel said it meant punishment. So, basic difference, and we can elaborate on this, you know, we get to Parshas Noach and Parshas Lech Lecha, is that of course there's a fundamental difference between Avram and Noach, and they're not on the same level. Avram was on a much greater level than Noach, and because of that, Avram's righteousness was able to save the world. Noach's righteousness, yeah, he was great, there's no doubting it, but it wasn't great enough to save the world, and that's why the outcome is different in terms of the first clause of the Mishnah, where the ending is the world was destroyed. And with Avram, the ending is Avram was able to redeem the entire world, even though they were machisim lefanav. They were not doing that much better than they were doing from Adam to Noah. And now, he answers the last part of the Rabbeinu Yonah, asks the following question, which we may or may not have enough to agree or disagree with the answer. It's just, again, one of these abstract concepts. What does that mean that Avram took their reward? Again, assuming reward doesn't mean punishment, but actually means reward here. How can Avram take their reward? That's not fair. If I earned my reward, if I earned my Gan Eden, how can Avram go and take it from me? In this chayv bedino yitzlena begehenna. Aval be'achar shekula mitztav lasos tova, v'zeino osev, v'chaveru mekayim tzibui, v'tzibui atzmo, minis adinno sena sheyito chalko v'chel chaveru began eden, v'al zen natal Avraham avinu schar kulam. So what he argues again, I can't prove this or disprove this, but he says that there are certain points in time where you lose your chance, you lose your reward. And apparently at the time of Avraham, that's what was going on. So there might have been a nice guy somewhere who did something nice, but as a collective, if most of the things they were doing were negative, were wrong, were bad, then there gets a point where your Olam Haba could be taken away from you. Again, I don't understand it, I don't know it, I don't get it completely, but that's how he argues the concept of Avram taking their reward. It could be, you know, there are other arguments here. Some commentators say that the reward we're talking about is the reward of the people that Avram, we know from the Midrashim, was Makariv, that Avraham brought people under the fold of monotheism, and presumably they got reward, and maybe it doesn't mean that he took their reward, as it were, that they, you know, sort of zero-sum game, that there's, you know, 100% reward, and Avram took that 100% for himself, but maybe they got 100% reward, and he also sort of doubled up and got reward for them as well. So it's not that they took the reward away from them, but that they both got reward. That's one other way to understand the Mishnah. That's not what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying. Rabbeinu Yonah is saying is that Avram was able to usurp their reward, whatever reward they might have gotten, away from them. Okay, moving along. We are now going to see the Maharal, and we'll see that he's going to ask one of our questions in a few different ways and give an answer. So he says here, V'yesh Lishol, source number 5, Masha Amar Asara Daros, Minoach Vad Avram. The question of repetitiveness. The first clause of the Mishnah said, 10 generations from Adam to Noach to teach us God's patience. Second clause of the Mishnah says, 10 generations from Noach to Avram to teach us God's patience. You already taught us God's patience. Right? You're being repetitive. That's question number one. Vod Kasha, second question, Sha'amar Ad Shaba Avram Avinu V'kibal Schar Kulam, Minayin Shekibal Schar Kulam. So another question he asked, I'm not sure we're going to answer this fully, but is, how do we know that he took all the reward? V'lama Hayem Mekabal Avram Schar Kulam. Why did he take all the reward? Okay, so again, we're going to focus on that first part. I'm not sure we're going to get to the second and third question, but the question of repetitiveness. So the Maharal sets up for us that there's two types of Erech HaPayim. There's two types of patience.
Two components. Ha'echad hu, shumarech af, shelo lasos hashchasa, kemo shahaya bedora mabul, shayamashchis hakol.
One type of patience is not destroying the world. So holding him back, holding himself back from destroying the world. That's one type of patience. The habez, Shemarech af bishvil hatzadik kamo shaya ba'asara doros minoach ad Avram shemarech af bishvil Avram shayanola. This is a more, I would say, a positive holding back. The first one's a negative holding back, right? I want to destroy the world, but I'm going to hold myself back. The second one is there's a righteous person around, and he's going to bring out my patience.
Umi'ata shnei erech apayim heim.
It's qualitatively different. The patience that we're talking about from Adam to Noach to not destroy the world.
The
second patience is qualitatively different. That's the patience that God has, that he's going to eventually bring somebody righteous into the world that's going to save the world.
And that's why he gave patience. So you can spin this and develop this in different ways, but what the Maharal's doing textually is saying that Erech HaPayim are two types of Erech HaPayim. It's not the same Erech HaPayim, it's two types of patience. The two types that he's describing are, one is just, I would say, self-control, as it were, that God really like feels like he wants to destroy the world, but he's going to hold back until eventually he doesn't because it's just too far. And the second is more of a positive, hopeful patience. It's sitting and waiting with the patience of knowing that somebody's going to come to this to save the world. So the first one's self-control, the second one is hope. That's how I would label these two types of self-control for the Maharal. And we could all, if we relate it to our own lives on some level as much as we can, we're talking about God here, but we're talking about God in human terms. So we'll say Lahavdil and we'll leave it at that, as much as we can incorporate this concept. There are two types of patience. Right? There's patience of using everything we have in us to control ourselves from getting angry because we've just had enough. And then there's a patience of you're playing the long game, where you know right now is not the time to deal with this because something good's going to happen in the future. So you're going to sit through the bad now because you know the good is coming soon. Those are the two types of Erech HaPayim here. The first one for the first 10 generations eventually destroyed. Second was patience for Avram. If Avram eventually came, and the rest is history, as they say. But we'll get that a little bit more when we get to the Abarbanel. But let's do, before we get to the Abarbanel, one last source here. The source number 6, the Sfas Emes. So the Sfas Emes dealing with the same question. Why the repetition? So he says, Kasha. On the left-hand side here, Dikvar hodianu koach erech apayim lasar daros harishonos. You already told us. Again, same question. Second clause says to teach us patience. We already learned patience from the first clause. V'yesh lomar dekan adifa. The second one is better. You'll see. We'll try to translate that better after you see what he says. Dehavaluhu lehisyaser mimasherahu shehevi mabul rishonim umikomakom herich lehem apo. It's a more intense patience, as it were, because the second group of 10 generations should have learned their lesson from the first group of 10 generations, right? So we're looking at it and say, why are you repeating? You already taught us patience, so why are you teaching us patience again? But take a step back. Obviously, that second group of 10 generations didn't learn their lesson. So that second group, as it were, God has to be even more patient for, because this just happened like 10 seconds, like a few chapters ago. Like, you should have read that already. Why did you not learn your lesson? So now he's being tried. God is being tested again when they didn't learn their lesson. And again, if you want to put this into your own lives, it's very simple, right? So somebody did something wrong once. You were patient until eventually you couldn't be patient, and you did something. Well, I don't know what. Hopefully you didn't create a flood, but you did something. And then they do it again 10 seconds later, right? That second time is so much harder to control yourself because I just told it to you. So it's that Erech HaPayim, it's that second one. So he says, again, the comparison between what's worse, the first or the second. The main message here we'll leave for what we just stated, which was that the reason why it's repeated is because the second Erech HaPayim is a stronger Erech HaPayim because he has to build off of the fact that they didn't learn their lesson. So far we've answered probably most of our questions. What's the message? We saw it's either a theodicy message or, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, it's a message on hope for Galus. Why Lefanov, Medrash Shmuel said it's because we are going to, that God was more taken aback, as it were, for mitzvos ben adam al-chavero, right? He couldn't be patient once people started treating each other not nicely. It's one thing if it's lefanav, if it's just before him, if it's just ben adam lemakom, but once it becomes ben adam lechavero, that was enough. What's the difference between Avram and Noah? Well, Avram got the reward. Noah didn't get the reward. Avram was righteous enough to save the generation. Noah wasn't. What reward did they have, and how did he take it? So that we spoke about too. It's either reward for the good things that they did. Did he take it, meaning that he took it completely and usurped it from them, or is it sort of a double reward? We saw that little bit of a debate. And why have to teach patience twice? One answer we saw was that it's qualitatively different patience, in the sense that one was a self-control patience and one was a hopeful patience, or is that the second patience was so much harder because they just messed up previously. How come they didn't learn their lesson? So in truth, we could probably stop here because it's a whole unit of questions and answers, but we still have a little bit of time, so I'll do, we'll see, should we do it? Yeah, let's do it. Why not? Still got a little bit of time. Okay, so let's see the Abarbanel. So the Abarbanel, if you remember, asked the five questions. I'm not going to repeat them now because I think we've repeated them enough till this point. And he starts answering the questions. Va'omer b'tshuvasam, sha'mishnayos ha'elu ba'u mikusharos kafi inyanam. So this actually is, he's going to start off with the juxtaposition question. If you remember, I forgot to recap that. Why the juxtaposition between the second Mishnah that we're doing now, in between 1 and 3? 1 and 3 had to do with creation. This one is post-creation. So why the juxtaposition? The Medrash Shmuel brought in the answer because of again, Tzadik V'Ralo Rasha V'Tovo, the theodicy question, that this, we have to interrupt the creation narrative in order to tell you that righteous people suffer in this world in order to compensate for the Rishayim, and wicked people suffer, get rewarded in this world, or God's patient with them, so they're not punished right away. See, Barbanel is gonna address this slightly differently. So he says, why are these Mishnayos connected? Shacharesha b'Mishnah Rishona Hishrishanu b'scharva onesh hanimsha achar briyasa olam. The first Mishnah talked about reward related to creation. Kemosh Amar, as it said in the first Mishnah, Kedeli Parmen or Shanvli Ten Schar Tov Tzadikim, the world was created with 10 utterances in order to take away from the Rishayim and give reward to the righteous. Asta HaMishnah, Rayel Azeh Me'adorosh Ahiyu Me'adam Va'Noach Shei Mechisin Es Hashem. So now the Mishnah, the next Mishnah, our Mishnah, is coming to prove that point, that the wicked people are going to be punished. Harelecha, you see from our Mishnah that the wicked people destroy the world because they were wicked. They tested God. Yes, he was patient. That's true. But that's not the main Mishnah. That's not the main point of the Mishnah. The main point of the Mishnah is jumping off of the previous Mishnah, which said that the wicked people are going to get paid back and that they destroy the world. Here you have it. The wicked people literally destroyed the world. We had to have a mabul because of the wicked people. So Mishnah 2 jumps off directly off of Mishnah 1. And then Noah was able to keep the world going. And he's the rock, the foundation stone that helped rebuild the world. Okay, so that's why Mishnah 2 jumps off Mishnah 1, to prove the point that the wicked people destroy the world and they themselves get punished. Next, Vihine. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Herech Lem Asara Doros Keneged Asara Ma'amaro Shenivra Olam. God was patient with them 10 generations, like corresponding to the 10 statements that the world was created with from the previous Mishnah. Lohodia Kam Erech HaPayim Lefanav, to teach us how patient God is. Wrote to Lomar, Sha'arichlos Apo Hu Yimshach Ad Asara Doros V'lo Od. So the Barbanel says, yeah, he's patient, but remember, he's not everlasting patience. It's 10 generations, and then 10 generations, that's it. You had your chance, and now it's over. Oh, lamlatzas eser sfiros kefidata mukubalim, or as the Abarbanel alluded to in the previous mission as well, it might have to do something kabbalistically with the sfiros, with the 10 sfiros that the world is created with on a mystical level. We're not going to get into that. Ve'ein safek shi'u b'nei olam chayavin kiliyah kanche dor mabul. So the second set of 10 generations from Noah to Avram, also Abarbanel said, were deserving of destruction. So why weren't they destroyed? Aval nimsa b'neim Avram Avinu, shenatzach b'shlemuso kol b'nei doro, shenitzach b'shlemuso kol b'nei doro. Avram, even though the world was supposed to be destroyed again, Avram's merit saved the world. V'nata l'tzad ha'hafachli m'maseyem, and was able to compensate for their actions. V'lachin, hischabru bo shnei anyanim, ha'echad sheniskayim olam ba'avuro v'zchuso, that number one, the world was saved for Avram. Va'beis shekibol schar kulam, he received their reward. Kolomar shaschar roi lemina anoshi lefi ha'chavana ha'lokis, shehu ha'davuk bo, v'yisyachtus lanagaso, nitzlu Avram lo lezaro. See, Barbanel explains what the reward here is in a very different way than we've seen so far. So far we've seen reward actually means punishment, or reward means, as we think about it, as literal, or I guess spiritual reward, as it were. But here he understands it as not just like, you know, you get tokens and prizes for what you did right, but it's the reward is the ability to have spirituality, if I can paraphrase. It's the ability to connect to God and to unite and understand his ways. That's what Avraham got. And that's what his children got, his Zaro got. Uvinas zeh naseh apri amina anoshi. And that saves the rest of the world for the future. In other words, what's the reward that Avraham gets? Avraham gets the Torah. Avram gets the monotheism, the spirituality of how to keep the world going. And that's what he passes on from generation to generation. And the Abarbanel takes that and says, Zeh inyan ha-mishnayos, that's the purpose of these mishnayos. It's much deeper than we've said until now. Eventually, we'll see in the future that we're going to talk about the 10 tests that Avram went through. To tell us about Avram's righteousness. To teach us how much God loves Avram. And as we'll see in future Mishnayos, there's 10 miracles that happened in Egypt. Hakol b'schuso, everything is in the merit of Avram. V'gam kein me'inyan ha'nisyono shenasu v'seinu samalka b'midbar. And the Mishnah after that is going to talk about the 10 tests that the Jews tested God in the desert. V'afal pi b'schar Avram machol lehem. In the merit of Avram, God forgave them. Avanoseim v'vim la'aretz, and he brought them to the land. V'naslan beis ha'mikdash shenasu shama b'smidos asar nisim. And he brought them into the beis ha'mikdash in order, and in the beis ha'mikdash there were 10 miracles, and that's another Mishnah that we're going to see. So what the Abarbanel is doing here is he's connecting all the Mishnayos in our Perek. Two important things to keep in mind as we elaborate on this. What's the Abarbanel's classic methodology that we've alluded to several times? Is that he goes and links the different Mishnayos and the Prakim together and has a running theme between the Mishnayos. It's exactly what he's doing right here. He's saying that all of these Mishnayos, all the ones that we saw last week and we're going to see in future weeks, are 10 things. Why not 10 Dibros? Why not 10 other things? 10, 10, 10, 10. So he argues that it's these 10 things because it all frames back and links back. It's a thread that has to do with Avraham coming into the world, saving the world, and then passing that message on to the future generations. So all the Mishnayos are bringing that out. All the ones that we're going to see about the 10 all link back to Avram and the zchus of Avram. And that's what he says here. Hine, im kein. Hanisyono shenisnase Avram vanisim shenasu levana vanisyono shenasu hemes amakom. All these 10 things, vanisim anasim besa mikdash, kulom ayu bezeh amispar me'asar keneged osam asar ma'amaro shebem nevar olam. They all link back to the 10 utterances the world was created. V'nizkru b'mishnayos elu zeh achar zeh lefi shebo kulom levar schar Avram avinu v'tziv kaso shenimshach ma'amishnah rishona. They all go back to Avraham and the merit that Avraham has, v'im kulam chalakim mimena, they all break off from Avram. And then it goes on to, he goes on to explain how we'll see that in future Mishnayos, which we'll see. So keep this in mind as we go forward. The Abarbanel is going to always look for a connection between whatever Mishnayos we see in the future about 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. He's going to say, link it back to Avram. This all goes back to Avram because he's the one who saved the world, and it's the Schar, it's the Torah, it's that spirituality, it's that uniting with God that Avram left for us as a heritage that keeps the world going. He's about to go on to another idea here, which we're going to skip for now for time purposes, but it's very fascinating. If you want to see it on your own, he answers one more question that we left off, which is why Adam, Noah, and Avram, those three, and not other people in those generations? And he argues that each one represents a different developmental part of life. There's the tzomachas, there's the chiyunis, and there's the sichlis, which is basically, tzomachas is growth related to sort of plant life. So the part of us that's related to tzomeach, to plant life. That's why Adam, there's a theme, there's a metaphor, there's a motif of plants and trees and, you know, figs and, you know, fig leaves and all that with Avram, because it has to do with Someach. And then the next stage of development is Chiyunis, which is more animalistic in the sense of movement, mobility. That's Noach. And then finally, Avram is the third level of Sichlis, which is intellect, which is the spiritual, which is the higher level. And that's why these three are represented as paradigms for these three parts of humanity. And obviously linking it back up to the Avram point, which is that our goal is to, and the reason the world was created isn't for tzomachas and chiyunis. It's not for the plant life or for the animal life. It's created for us to be able to use our seichel, to use our intellect, to connect to God. And that's the essence of life. And that's the paradigm that Avraham leaves for us, and one that hopefully we can continue to follow by looking at Avraham as our role model, as well as following the Torah and the mitzvos, so that we can connect our seichel to the spirituality and holiness of God. So with that, we will close this week's shir. I will open up to questions for those who want to stick around for a little bit. A reminder for those who have graduates, we're going to be doing a socially distant graduation in the yard at the Kingsway Yard at around 11 o'clock. So hopefully we'll see you there. If anybody has any questions, feel free to ask away. I'm not saying I'm going to have any answers, but...